Peace, peace, peace. What's up, y'all? This is Ace. Thanks again for joining me on the Trep Life with Ace podcast, episode number 7. Today is going to be a short, brief episode. It's one that's breaking history, though, right? We recently, in some of the past podcasts, I had the pleasure of mentioning this brother by the name of Sean Carter, Mr. HOV himself, Jay-Z. Is now officially being named the first hip-hop billionaire, right? Forbes magazine just released an article tallying up all of all of this man's accomplishments as far as his assets, his business holdings, tallied them all up, and they bring him over $1 billion in value. So they've named him first hip-hop billionaire. But what's most interesting about that is he didn't do it with hip hop, as far as his musical holdings. That actually only accounts for about 8% of his total net worth. So about $75 million is what they are they're estimating that his music catalog is worth. So this brother was able to transcend his value as just a rapper or a hip hop artist, and now has reached some of the higher heights in business. And he's done so on the back of his music, of course. You know, as a musician, as an artist, as a popular artist, he's been able to do joint venture deals. He's been able to amass a certain amount of clout and a certain amount of respect in the industry that allowed for him to buy into companies that are hip hop adjacent, right? Such as alcohol, right? As far when it comes to hip hop, drugs and alcohol go hand in hand with hip hop. He was able to capitalize on not the drugs part, but on the hip hop. Excuse me, on the alcohol side of things with his Armandier, whatever, Ace of Spade at Douce, right? The business name Armandier, whatever it is, a French name or whatever. But you know, he's been able to amass his fortune. Now it's interesting that you know, it's not until Forbes gives the thumbs up that we take it on and say, yeah, man, he's now a billionaire. I actually truly believe that way before Forbes is able to put these numbers together, Jay has been mentioning this as being his near accomplishment, his future accomplishment since he dropped that album 444, where he explicitly mentioned that he will be a billionaire in a very short period of time, if he wasn't already at that time. We know Jay is not that public of a person, especially when it comes to talking about his money. But, you know, he has made strides to discuss that more in his latest music, the music that he's done on the 444 album, as well as music that he's done with his wife, Beyonce, and the compilation album that they did together. And I want to just say, you know, congrats. I believe that it's a step in the right direction. It serves as a great inspiration. You know, I can say plenty of other things about why we're waiting for white-owned publications to give us a stamp of approval. Those of us who are in the media industry should have been on this story. This story should have been released under another avenue, you know. But that's just how I feel, right? And that's not because I'm hating, it's because I love my people. I love what we're capable of doing. I love what we're already doing, and I love the fact that we have such a bright future ahead of us when it comes to business. Now, some of you may say, well, what does this have to do with Trep Life, right? Well, Jay-Z has proven that living in the pursuit of entrepreneurial excellence leads to greatness. It leads to profitability. It leads to being able to accomplish goals that many others have deemed unaccomplishable for those of us coming up out of the neighborhoods that we came up out of. Jay-Z grew up just a mile away from where I grew up. So I looked up to that brother. I looked up to the things that he's been able to do for himself and for his family and for the greater Black community and for the greater society as a whole. You know, one of the benefits of being a musician is that as an artist, your art transcends race and can speak to people of many other races. And he's been able to capitalize on that. So much honors to that brother for doing so. Now, do I believe that is the avenue that will be taken by most black entrepreneurs to accomplish the level of billionaire or millionaire. No, I believe that there are certain exceptions to the rule, such as Jay-Z, such as Oprah, and maybe Bob Johnson and a few others. But I believe most of us will be millionaires and billionaires by building businesses that don't rely on us being the primary image for that business, meaning that we build businesses that transcend race because our race has nothing to do with the business that we're building. We build businesses that serve anyone, regardless of their race or their locale or their cultural background, and that they cannot judge our businesses on our color of our skin because we don't operate businesses based on it being black owned or putting it out in the public as being black owned. That's the kind of revolution I'm talking about. I'm talking about being able to infiltrate other societies and other communities and to be able to recapture dollars to bring back into the black community the same way they do with us. And I believe the only way, the most efficient and effective way of doing so is by establishing and positioning your business as an online enterprise, e-commerce. That is the way that many of us, probably the majority of us, will be able to amass massive wealth in a very short period of time, is because we're not marginalizing ourselves or we're not limiting our customer base by putting it out there in the public that we are a black-owned business or that we're here to serve black needs and black wants. That's not how the corporate world is able to capitalize on culture. So if you think about the wealthy corporations that exist in society today, some of the ones that we look up to, such as Nike, such as Johnson and Johnson, such as and Johnson and Johnson obviously is a pharmaceutical as well as a beauty and health business, where they own things all the way from toilet tissue and paper towels through soap and makeup and everything else involving health and beauty. And they find ways to market to everyone, and they do so by integrating everyone into their marketing schemes. So the lesson for today is, how does a black-owned business who is who has a presence online able to capture the dollars of anyone that comes across their particular business? Number one, you don't single yourself out as a black-owned business. The name of your business should not be an obviously urban name, an obviously black hip-hop culture name. It should be a general name that speaks to it being an American business, not a black-owned business. I'll give you an example. When I was, as in a previous episode, I mentioned how I was building a media duplication company. Actually, it was a company that was started and founded by my uncle. He had to take a step back away from the business. I came in, took over things, took over operations, and transformed that business into a more successful operation. And in the beginning, the name of the company was Media Mommy. And Media Mommy speaks to an urban demographic. It may speak to and mommy being MAMI. So maybe some might assume that we might have been Hispanic to some degree or something like that, right? But it was almost a pigeonholing type of name. And it that name and the target demographic that it was initially serving kept it as a small operation, meaning that it wasn't able to branch off into other communities and establish business relationships as far as gaining customers in other communities, especially not the corporate world, right? So one of the things that I did was I changed the name. That was the first part of being able to transform this business into a more successful operation, by first changing the name. I changed the name to Coastal Media. So we did the exact same thing. Nothing ever changed as far as the operation went, but I changed the name to give a perception that we're not cornering ourselves into being the black urban business that serves the black urban customer. Coastal Media speaks to a more wide demographic, and it can serve anyone that needs media duplication. So that was the first step, right? So that's one of the first things I recommend any black-owned business who is looking to establish a presence online. Make sure that your website, that your business and your branding does not single you out. Because let's be honest, y'all, the truth is Black-owned businesses do not get the proper respect that we deserve. It is what it is. We're undervalued, underappreciated, and marginalized, especially when we explicitly, publicly call our businesses Black-owned businesses. And then on the flip side of that, when we only go out and say that we're only here to serve, or we're primarily here to serve the Black consumer. That is the wrong way to go about it. If we're in the age of economic integration, then we have to integrate other people from other communities into our customer base. And the only way we can do so is by making them see that they are a part of who we're trying to serve. And we cannot single ourselves out by making it all Black. We cannot call them urban names that only speak to those of us who are in the Black culture, where we are the only ones who understand. Right. So flipping C's into K's and adding Z's at the end instead of S's and all those different things, that does kind of corner you a little bit. Now, some of us have the privilege, especially those of us in the entertainment world, such as Sean Carter. He has the privilege to be able to do whatever he wants, regardless of the color of his skin and regardless of his public perception. But the truth is, many of us don't have that particular privilege. And we must find ways that we can integrate our businesses into the greater society. And the only way we can do so is to make our business more presentable, right? So marketing is number two. How do you market your business? Diversify. Diversify who's modeling your clothing if you're in the clothing industry. Diversify who's modeling your makeup if you're in the makeup industry. Diversify who's modeling your hair and your wigs if you're in the hair industry. Diversify who's handling your product, regardless of what kind of product it is. Diversify. If you look at any commercial nowadays on television from major corporations, billion-dollar corporations, they are diversified in their customer base by showing you who are their customers. And one of the, they've gone as far now to when they're presenting a product, they're now using multiracial couples, children, family dynamics to be able to encompass all bases. We have to do the same thing. So if you're a Black-owned clothing company, please make sure that your models are diversified. Go out there and get them to don't just have Black people modeling your clothes. That's going to single you out. You have to find ways to mimic and model those who are successful already as far as whatever industry that you're in. Look up to these major corporations and you'll find that they are very diversified in their marketing schemes when it comes to who they're projecting as who their customers are. We must do so. It's imperative that we do so. And I believe that it has to be done, and it's easily done by having a presence online, because that way the owner of the business is not the face of the business. We can move in and out of different communities by presenting people from those communities in our marketing schemes. Some of us have Black-owned businesses that are focused on building the Black customer, such as what I'm doing with Trep Life brand, as well as Black Wall Street Econ Revolution. Those things are relating directly to Black people because that's exactly who I'm trying to help. But all of my other businesses, online e-commerce businesses, the models in the clothing, the people handling the product, whether it's a hardware. So if I'm selling a pair of headphones, I don't just have Black people wearing them headphones in those pictures. You understand? I don't just have Black children modeling or in front of the toys that I'm selling on the toy store. Or if I'm in the health and beauty and I'm selling makeup, I'm not just using Black models to show off the makeup and the hair or whatever the case is. We're diversifying who we're showing using the particular products that we sell. And that allows for us to be able to attract customers from other communities who are willing to spend dollars with us because they are not seeing us as a Black-owned business. We cannot single ourselves out and put a target on our back. That is negative. We just have to be honest and tell our absolute honest truth about how Black businesses are seen in our modern-day society here in America. So those are two things that I recommend. To reiterate, don't call your business a Black-owned business in public. And number two, don't only market your business using marketing schemes designed to attract Black customers. You have to diversify. If you do those things, and of course, it comes with a lot of other things. And like I said, I'm putting a course together right now that's going to teach some of these nuances because nobody else is teaching this stuff. Nobody else is doing this. Nobody else is showing how, is showing black business owners how to develop a wildly successful online business without marginalizing and limiting their customer base. Nobody else is doing that. If you know of anybody who's doing that, I'd love to be able to check out what they're doing and partner up possibly. You can let me know. Follow me at Trep Life Ace. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, all at Trep Life Ace. That's the that's how you can hit me up. Send me your questions, your suggestions, your concerns, whatever it is. I'm always willing to listen out and hear what you guys have to say. Again, big shout out to the brother Jay-Z, Mr. Sean Carter, for what he's been able to do. I know his wife ain't too far behind as far as hitting her $1 billion as well. They have their hands in a lot of different businesses. And I can tell you one thing for sure, that even though they are of celebrity status and they're welcome into rooms that a lot of us as black people are not welcome into, many of their business endeavors do not have them as the face of that business. So they may have business endeavors that are serving the greater population, and people don't even know that this owned by Beyonce, owned by Jay-Z, owned by Dr. Dre, owned by Puff Daddy, or whoever's in the hip hop industry who we know is moving towards that billionaire status, right? So that's one of the things that they've been able to do. But for the majority of us, for the majority of us, we have to establish and position ourselves online through e-commerce, and that we're showing ourselves as American-owned businesses, U.S.-based businesses, not necessarily black-owned businesses, or not necessarily here to only serve the needs and wants of black people. We're here to serve the needs and wants of everyone. That way we can recapture our dollars, bring them back, circulate them back into our neighborhoods, start to reinvest, start to reverse the ills that were done to us coming out of Reconstruction era, coming out of the emancipation of our enslaved ancestors, coming out of the Civil Rights Act. Like, I don't know if you guys really understand that integration, which has been one of the biggest hits to the black community as far as wealth accumulation, has only been around for 50 years or 60 years. 1964, the Civil Rights Act was enacted. 1954 is when segregation started to dwindle away and integration started to come into play. It took 10 years for it to be signed into law nationwide. But then the efforts, though, the beginning efforts started in 1954. That is 60 years ago, almost 65 years ago. That is one generation ago. But that single in those years, we've seen a huge disparity in the wealth gap. And it's growing constantly. Why? Because corporations, primarily owned, majority owned by white folk, have found ways to integrate us into their customer base, integrate our dollars into their pockets, remove the wealth. And while they're doing that to us, we can't flip it and do it the exact same thing with them by calling ourselves black-owned businesses. We just can't do it. Let's stop doing it. The KKK guy who's running the business that's selling billions of dollars, he ain't out there as the white-owned, white supremacist business. He's not doing it that way. He's a lot smarter than that. He realizes that the color that matters when it comes to commercialism and capitalism is green. And if I can capture green by showing someone that I'm willing to serve their needs and putting them in my marketing schemes, then that's what has to be done. Let's follow the example of those who have done it before us and make sure that we carried it out the right way. So that's all the word that I want to leave. It's a short episode, as I mentioned. Again, check me out, Trep Life Ace, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever your favorite platform is. Website coming soon, treplifewithace.com. The course coming soon, Black Wall Street Ecom Revolution coming soon. But definitely drop your questions. If you have any questions about how you as a black entrepreneur can develop a wildly successful business without marginalizing yourself and limiting your reach, I got the blueprint. Let's get it done. Peace.